step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 862. My name is Lisa Sheps today, and I am joined by my frothy and sexy co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
You're listening to us on KOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live all over these continental United States and the world at KOOP.org.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world.
It is Wednesday, February 4th, 2026. On the show today, we have those miraculous people from ATX Theater. And then also later on, we're going to be talking to Andrea Ariel of KMFA's Offbeat Concert Series. And of course, we're going to have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, New York, London, Chicago, and Killeen, Texas. Stick with us.
That album, that music, that show.
That music is beautiful. It should win a Grammy.
It should.
It should. Good
and
morning.
Did you see it's going to be on the Hobby Center?
We're
going to
talk about it in
series.
Just a second. Why don't you just let's give
excited.
It a second. First, before we get into any stuff, I need to check in with you and see how you're doing.
I'm here. I've had brain overload this week.
Okay. B.O. we call that. You have B.O.
Well, no, I don't have B.O.
Yes, you do.
No.
Well, it's brain overload.
Okay. But I smell good.
Well, good. It's a pleasure to see you on this. It's a springy day today.
Actually, this weather is fine, but I don't like that the allergies are back.
They're back. With KXN told me today that
my little tissue is like, you are going through me very
tissue,
quickly.
Tissue, we hardly know you. I want to thank Kim J. Simpson for another wonderful International Folk Bazaar.
Kim it was like a, it was a great job.
One thing I do need to talk to him, you know, it's really kind of a normal show. I wouldn't call it bizarre at all.
You're on fire today.
I am on fire. Let's introduce our guest that we have here in the studio with us.
We have a
who,
person
I'm
here.
Surprised to learn that this is their, it can't be your first time on this show.
It was back in the Zoomy days.
Let me introduce you first before you talk. So take that back.
I take it you back. Go,
Sharon Bauer Anderson. Person extraordinaire. Hi.
Hi.
Welcome to Ground Floor. Ground Floor. I do that all the time. Welcome to Offstage and On the Air. I wear too many hats.
Yeah.
It happens. I do too. Okay. I understand.
I know. So that song
I hear you.
That we heard, it was called Chan Chan from the Buena Vista Social Club, the Broadway version. And we played that because it won the Grammy Award for the best musical theater album of 2026.
It did.
They still call them albums, even though they're not albums.
Well, I mean, you could have an album.
You could. You don't necessarily.
I think album's one of those words. It means two things.
They were up against Death Becomes Her, Gypsy, and maybe Happy Ending.
I know, because if Death Becomes Her had won, Destiny's Child would have been the only other band outside of the Beatles where everyone in the band had solo careers that had an album that won a Grammy. Michelle Williams is the only one left to win
a Grammy. You are a font of very interesting knowledge.
Trivia.
Dun, yeah. Dun, dun.
Did either of you watch the Grammys this year?
I did not watch them.
Nope.
Did you see the Buena Vista Social Club show on the stage in Nueva York?
No, I didn't.
Okay, me neither.
Me nope. neither.
But don't worry, it's on tour. Okay.
Yeah, so we're going to talk. Well, why don't you spill it? Because it's out there. There's a press release.
There is. It's coming to Houston. I think it's coming to Dallas too. They have announced Dallas and Houston so far. Austin's down the ways in San Antonio, but Houston's gonna get Buena Vista Social Club. That's the second show. They'll open with Sound of Music, which we have in Austin first.
Yes,
right now.
I believe it's playing right this very second. Yes.
So that'll open up Houston, then Buena Vista Social Club, then The Notebook, then Boop the Musical, and Death Becomes Her, which we were just talking about. Yeah. And then
which I've heard nothing but great things about.
Oh yeah, Amy went. Amy loved it. That the
That's
night
Amy
before.
Leighton Amy Leighton. Motley Crue. Media.
I was supposed to go with her. It was the night before Course Line. She went anniversary of Course Line. I was supposed to go with her, but I couldn't get in from the shore until the next day.
There you go.
Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, Jersey Boys, 20th anniversary on that one.
I know. I saw that. That's pretty amazing.
And Beetlejuice and Wicked.
What was the second to last one you just said?
Beetlejuice.
And what was it again?
Beetlejuice.
Oh, okay. That's three times. The other Broadway tangential people that won, I don't know who these people are, Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande.
Who are they?
I don't know, but they got Best Pop Duo Group Performance for Defying Gravity.
So I had to use Ariana Grande in my Japanese class the other day. Her Japanese name is Grandu Ariana-san.
You know,
in case you were wondering.
I am not sure what I would have done had I not learned that.
I know. I also had to learn Liza Minnelli. Mineri Raisa-san.
These sound like names that you were choosing to learn, not that you had to learn.
They asked who your favorite celebrity was, I had to learn Liza Minnelli. And I had to compare two people and ask a question, who's tall and who's short.
Now here's a chicken.
So I used LeBron and Ariana Grande, who is tall.
Here's a chicken and egg question.
I thought it was easy. Good one.
Is Liza Minnelli your favorite or one of your favorite performers because of their performing or because your dog is named Liza Minnelli?
No, I had a dog named Liza Minnelli. No, I've been obsessed with Liza Minnelli whole life.
You're not.
By the way, she has a new biography coming out in March 10th.
Don't care.
Just letting you know.
Don't care.
I do.
Biggest fan.
I love her.
I like her. Very much like Barbara Streisand as an actor more than a singer.
Oh, she's an incredible actor.
I know. I think.
I like her because she's a performer, Lisa.
Okay.
I don't pigeonhole her into anything.
There you go. I'm a pigeonholer. You know what else I pigeonhole? I pigeonhole the opinions that we express here on Offstage and on the Air are not necessarily those of co-op, its board of directors, volunteers, staff, or underwriters. It's just our opinion. So we'll start right with the controversial stuff. There's not really an article about this, but I'm talking about our president who's closing the Kennedy Center now after he changed the name of it because he wants to renovate it. I just find that infuriating, and hopefully he won't get away with it because I would hate to see the Kennedy Center looking like the White House looks right now.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing to it.
Gold leaf and whatever the Rococo style or whatever style he likes. It's tacky and awful.
Louis XIV.
Whatever.
Yeah, I think when they said renovations, that wasn't what was initially put out. So I don't know.
Well, so there was an interview with the previous chair of the board of the Kennedy Center and talking about previous renovations, and they take a great care. It's years of planning and getting the renovations
so that
it does not affect performers, musicians, employees, people coming in. And that didn't happen this time. So the union, Actors Equity.
Actors Equity put out a thing.
The other unions put out a thing saying, we don't know anything yet about what's happening. We do know that a lot of things that were scheduled to perform in there are not. But I believe it's the Philharmonic or what the National Philharmonic that stayed. They did not, that now all of their people are, in theory, well, we don't know, but they're out of a job for a few years.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm mad.
There's a lot of
I'm M-A-D
knowing.
Mad. So, and every time, and now, so it's been so long since he is, and I'm using air quotes, the Trump Kennedy Center, and now... You know, people that I listen to and respect, when they talk about the Kennedy Center, they are adding Trump in front of it. Now it's almost become normalized. I did not think that this name was going to stick, and now I'm fearful that it will.
Well, it's on there, but like as easily as he put it on there, the next person can take it off.
Right.
There are bigger fish to fry right now in the world than us getting upset.
But they could have.
Know the next person's going to remove it.
Not necessarily. They could officially.
More than likely.
No, he could officially name it that.
Well, I think Congress could stop them. Congress could stop this, and they should.
Could, they should, but they won't.
But that's, of course, not an opinion of KOP Radio.
No, it's not. It's just ours. Anyway, here's an interesting thing that already happened now that we're on the controversial stuff. The thing that happened at the Public Theater yesterday, no, it was on the 31st of January.
Oh, that was, yeah.
The People's Filibuster. Which
was on the weekend, right? Was it over the weekend?
It was on January
31st. Why are all these days like blurs the last few days?
I don't know. But it was called the People's Filibuster. It was an 8-hour event on January 31st, responding to the recent immigration enforcement actions in Minnesota and situating them within a broader program, it says. And they had readings and performances focused on the democratic process and civic responsibility. It had almost 200 people that participated. They were reading from founding era American texts, along with contemporary writing and music. And here's some of the theater people that were involved. Lin-Manuel Miranda.
That dude.
Cynthia Nixon, Sarah Bareilles, Renee Elise Goldsberry, Christine Baranski, Ariana DeBose, John
Leguizamo.
Yes. Laura Benanti, Annalie Ashford, and others. So it sounds like a pretty cool thing. And it was made so that, obviously, it was 8 hours, so it's not something you go and stay at. So it was made so that people...
I mean, you could. There are some people that like to sit for hours at the theater. I'm
Except
not one of
those. You wouldn't be sitting. You would be standing.
Except there are still some people who like to do that. Not my jam, but that's okay.
Not my jam either.
Some other people's.
And I picked up this article specifically for that, but it happened to be an article that had three different little items in it. And reading down, I read the headline, New Outdoor Broadway Festival This Summer Upstate, which sounds like a lot of fun. It's in the Hudson Valley. It's called The Festival. It's the first of its kind. It's a three-day outdoor Broadway music festival. From August 14th to 16th.
Oh, the nice and hottest time of the year up there.
Well, it's going to be up in Kingston, so it might not be so bad.
When's the last time you've been up there in August?
Yeah, well, Kingston is pretty far north of the city, but you're right.
I used to live in Kingston. Mm-hmm.
I live very close to Kingston.
Yeah. So my mom's even more north of that. Yep. And
there's ticks.
It's not only ticks, but it's hotter than Pachibis in August. And they do not have the central heating and air.
We do not know. Oh, yes, we do. Never mind.
Is there a venue or it's outdoors?
It's outdoors. Oh, God. I was just about to say we don't know that it's outdoors, but it says
it's outdoors.
It's an outdoor Broadway. It is a blend of concert performances.
It is like Tick Haven.
Well, let's get this tick thing out in the open here.
Maybe it's at the Nature Center.
Yeah. So it's got concert performances and immersive fan experiences, including, this is for me and maybe you, sing-alongs.
Oh.
Themed piano bars, dance events, costume contests, and late night programming when it gets a little
cooler. Could you imagine costume contacts, though?
I do. Here's some of the people. Here's some of the low-level people involved. Audra McDonald, Kelly O'Hara, Renee Elise Goldberry.
Who are these people? I've never heard of them.
Your favorite, Christopher Jackson.
I do love him.
You love him. Some Brian Stokes Mitchell, Norbert Leo Butts.
I love him, too.
Jen Colella, Mandy Gonzalez, Ava Noblezada, and another one of your favorites, Adrienne Warren.
Oh, yeah, but I love Ava too.
Yeah. It's also going to include a...
Isn't she now going by Ava Noblezada Carney since she married Reeve?
I don't know, but...
because I've seen it used
I've
in a
seen
few
it in
places.
Print, and there is no Carney.
Interesting.
Maybe she is a Carney.
Well, she married Carney. She married Spidey.
There's also, it's going to include a Rent 30th anniversary celebration.
Oh, I
She'll
do love that.
Have some of the original cast.
Yeah. They've been together a lot
I don't, I can never remember what the number is. What's
425,600 minutes, right?
Yep. That's it. You got it.
25,000? I'm not sure.
Now you guys are making me not remember.
I can't
remember.
But
I do know.
All right. That is the People's Filibuster. Sounded like a lot of fun.
I'm so happy for Kingston, New York doing that. That's really exciting.
Yeah. Kingston's a cool place.
It was a sleepy little town, but they're getting it together.
It was. It probably still is a sleepy little town. I mean, people are so
much.
Amazed at, well, I mean, sleepy compared to others.
I went up to Kingston to have a baby. I was in
New York. Well, who doesn't?
And you know, you have to go upstream to spawn. So that's what I did. Mm-hmm. I went up there and had a baby.
Mm-hmm. No.
It was great.
It was booming before the pandemic, but since the pandemic, it's boomed a lot more too. It is not a sleepy little town.
That's great.
And relative to New York City or Houston or Austin, yes, it is.
I'm constantly getting New York City mixed up with Austin. John Proctor is a villain, is becoming a film. A film villain? Yeah.
I saw they were filming that.
Yeah. Interesting stuff about it is that Dania Taymor, who directed the play, is also going to direct.
I was like, she's doing the movie.
And I Wikipedia'd her today. She has done so much.
Uh-huh. You know, she did one of my faves.
Which one?
Outsiders.
Outsiders, yeah, she did. Sadie Sink, who is in the Broadway show, is set to be a producer, but she's not named to be in the movie.
That's okay.
Who knows?
She's still supporting it. She feels strongly about the piece. That's totally okay.
Well, she may get named.
I bet she'll have a cameo or something.
Kimberly Bellflower, who wrote the play, will also write the adaptation. I think that's interesting.
Bum, bum, bum.
The play is opening on the West End in September at the Royal Court. And it's going to play from...
You sure it's not?
Sorry.
The Royal Court.
I said wrong. That was wrong. September is when it ended its run in, at the booth. It's going to play the Royal Court in March, from March to April.
Interesting.
Dania Taymor is the youngest woman to ever win a Tony Award.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm not going to lie, but I've been more excited about the stuff on the West End these days than our own stuff here.
You don't have to lie.
The States.
Guess what... Dania Taymor's Broadway debut was?
Tell me, Lisa.
Passover.
Dun, dun, dun.
And Passover was the very first show to open after the pandemic.
Yes, it was.
There you go.
Bum, bum, bum.
And Passover was produced by Ground Floor Theater in an award-winning
Look at you
production.
With all these, like, you think I have the facts in Wikipedia, and today that's you.
What I found interesting about Dania Taymor, is she has done a lot of plays that focus on, well, I'm not going to even say it. Never mind. I'm going to, y'all just fill in that sentence for yourselves. Let's talk about Burnout Paradise.
Tell me about
now,
it.
Here's something. So I get a lot of my information from the Broadway briefing, as you get it every day. And there's always a little piece before they start talking about the actual articles that they have. It's just a little filler piece about, and I never read it, but I read it today, and they talked about Burnout Paradise, which is a show that's going to happen at the Astor Place Theater. It has billed itself as the longest running show ever.
Okay, I did see this morning. I just didn't remember the name.
But it's coming. It's coming.
But
back
how
to New
is
York.
It? I thought Fantastics is the longest running show.
It is, but that's in New York, and I think that because nowhere
they
I did,
just mean ever. I thought I, Mousetrap though
I,
was.
I did do some Mousetrap is for London though. I think it's English anyway. But this is run all over the world. But it's performed and created by an Australian theater company collective called Pony Cam, which. You gotta
it's a
like
fun
that.
Name. That sounds
name.
Fun. Yeah.
But this is, here it is. The show raises the stakes nightly. The cast must complete the tasks. What tasks? They have some tasks. well, and they've got each cast member's on a treadmill. They have to run faster than the previous evening's performance, or the audience gets their money's back if they can't.
Well, they have to be switching out casts all the time. Okay, this cannot be the longest running show. I've never heard of it in these other shows I know.
I agree with that. Let's let that go.
That's bad marketing. As a marketer, it's very hard to get rid of that.
It made me curious.
It did. It made me curious, too. So much that I had to go. But anyway, they used to not even have understudies. So thinking about trading people out. So there's only, when I looked at the cast list, there's four people in the
cast. Sounds like torture.
Yes, I agree. There were five people on the cast list, so I think they just have one. Anyway, it's interesting. But now they just hired some understudies. That is Burnout Paradise. So yeah. The next thing I want to talk about, let me check the time, is I never saw this. Dog Day Afternoon. That was the movie with Al Pacino. Who else was in it? Was it Dustin Hoffman? No.
But, no, but
anyway,
oh.
It was Al Pacino, and it was in the 70s. That's when I was coming of age. Everybody I knew saw it, except for me. But that was, 40 years ago, and now they're getting around to making a Broadway show out of it. And it is a play written by Stephen Adley Gurgis, who won a Pulitzer Prize, but I don't know what for.
James Broderick and Charles Durning.
There you go. But it's a true story. Sharon, did you ever see it?
No, I never saw it.
No.
Biographical crime drama.
It's based on a true story about
the boys in the bank.
Yeah, it's about robbing a bank to help. It's about a gay couple, if my memory serves me correctly, and they needed money for some surgery. And they robbed a bank.
It was also a hostage situation. And it went, so it wasn't just a like.
No, well, hold on. It went wrong.
Yes.
So it turned into it. That wasn't the intent. Anyway.
It was in Brooklyn.
March 30th. It will have an opening night. It starts preview on March 10th at the August Wilston Theater. So they're coming in cold. I think they did one small out of town run, and I don't know where it is. But in this is John Barenthal, Eben Moss Bacharach, John Ortiz, Jessica Hecht, and Spencer Garrett, amongst others. It's interesting. How do y'all feel about this show? Oh, I didn't tell you who's directing it. It's being directed by Rupert Gould. Anybody have any feelings?
Well, I don't have any feelings. Not my jam. I have no interest in seeing it, but
I'd go if it was half price.
If it was half price. So actually, I have the Wikipedia here.
I would just like people to go back to writing musicals and stop making things off of movies.
But you know what? They've always made things off of other intellectual property.
Right. Yeah, I know. Not everything.
I didn't say everything, but they've always done it.
But we've done it a lot more. The percentage has gone way further, as if we're not smart enough as embrace new work, and that just frustrates me.
I'm not sure that would be borne out by statistics, but I don't know. You could be right.
Mm-hmm. There's also an awful lot of shows being based on the lives of musicians or their music now, right?
Well, that's the whole jukebox musical craze, right. which is relatively new, starting basically with
Jersey
Mama
Boys.
Mia.
Mamma Mia was the
first one. Yeah.
But that's not real. That's different than Jersey Boys or Beautiful. Like Mamma Mia is like. Or Hell's Kitchen, like those.
Well, no, Mamma Mia to
make
me is
their
a...
own story.
Well, then
around
you have the Dolly
the
Parton story, and then you have the Alanis Morissette. What was that? Jagged Little Pill.
Pill. But the thing about Mamma Mia.
But it wasn't the story of Alanis Morissette and Jagged Little Pill. That falls in the other.
But they're all jukebox musicals, and I believe I actually prefer the ones that don't pretend to be something else, like Jersey Boys, because if Mamma Mia, they're trying to string a story around songs that already happened. So what happens is the story is very weak.
It's correct.
In almost all cases.
Correct.
So I love Jersey Boys.
I love Jersey Boys. Yeah. No, I like the ones like the Beautifuls or the Jersey Boys, the Dolly Partons, like those that tell the story. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason for that I really like. Now, I guess Hell's Kitchen would kind of be in the middle.
It is.
Because it's semi-autobiographical. Biographical. Okay. Oh, my God.
Biographical.
We can't speak today,
Harry. No, we can't.
However, there's a lot of fiction in it, and there are new songs, so it's not exactly the same thing.
They should do one on John Leguizamo.
It all feels contrived.
So, yeah. Again, not my jam, but some people like it.
Yep. Some people do.
Like the Anne Juliet would fall in the same world as those other one, as your Mamma Mia.
True.
And people are like, no, it doesn't. I'm like, but it does. It does. It's all pop music that they built a story.
Yeah, 100%.
And that one at Zach the other year with the inner tubes. What was that? The Go-Go's.
The Go-Go's. That one. Yeah. Oh my God. No, I got. We got the beat.
All right, yeah. Let's move on.
Yeah.
The penultimate thing I want to speak about is a sadness that doesn't really affect the theater community, but it is the entertainer community. Catherine O'Hara passed away, and she was just a light
special.
And a delight to watch.
Mm-hmm.
She is a Canadian. She got her start in Second City understudying Gilda Radner.
Mm-hmm. She was the one that helped fight to get SCTV created.
Yeah.
And
SCTV was the Canadian answer to Saturday SNL. Night Live. Mm-hmm. And they were great. I loved watching them.
There's been so many great things. Of course, people cannot post the one scene from Beetlejuice enough of Deo, and I keep watching it over and over because I'm like, it's such a great scene.
It is.
But the best thing I've seen so far was the dog show going on
best
in Madison
show.
Square. No, no. The actual dog show in New York at Madison Square Garden was happening. They stopped it, and on the center Jumbotron started playing clips of Catherine O'Hara and her singing about her terrier, and then did a whole montage of other movies, and then put up her name with her dates and said how blessed we all were to have us. And the entire dog show at Madison Square Garden just started roaring. And I was like, that was so awesome. Then I had to watch her sing about her terrier again.
I almost brought that song into play. But
oh, my
I didn't.
Gosh.
So the last thing I want to talk about is
really sad. Really sad. That one was a what?
Yep. We still don't know what
she was ill,
but they said she was ill, but that's all they said.
You could tell she was ill and she had stopped dropping out of things. And if you look at her last,
the last thing is something that I didn't think I was going to talk about because I don't like the show. But I had to, which is the Rocky Horror Show, the revival that's coming to Broadway.
Just as a wild, a weird cast as it was when the last revival.
Why I want to talk about it, because this cast is amazing.
I still like the last revival cast better than this one. Well, but I like.
You haven't
this
seen
one.
This one yet. It hasn't.
No, but I'm knowing from the people, I'm like, eh. Right.
I'm glad you don't have an opinion. Anyway, it's directed by Sam Pinkleton.
One of my favorite shows. I have lots of opinions on this one.
I do not like this show at all. But it stars Luke Evans, Rachel Dratch, Andrew Durand, Amber Gray is playing Riff Raff, so mm-hmm. I think that's cool.
Juliette Lewis Magenta.
Juliette Lewis, who never thought of her as a musical performer, but that's going to be interesting.
Well, Joan Jett was Magenta in the last one, not a musical.
And then Michaela J. Rodriguez, who I love, is making her Broadway debut.
There's a few of them.
That's Columbia. And then, as if it were not enough, there's a local connection.
Dun, dun, dun.
I know this person quite well, and he did a show at Ground Floor Theater, and I learned how to pronounce his last name, but a lot of Austinites know him as either Christine or Rebecca Havermeyer, and that's Paul Paul, I never know how to pronounce your name, but he's in it.
Yes. It's one of the Phantoms, I believe, right?
Hmm?
I think he's one of the Phantoms.
He's just a. It doesn't say. He's
that's one
he's
of the
ensemble.
Phantoms. That would be the Phantoms in the cast.
So let's take a break, and we'll hear Tom Huddleston singing from the last revival that you loved. Not Tom Huddleston.
No, Tom Hewitt.
Tom Hewitt.
Yes.
You don't have to take that. You don't have to take that. Tom.
Jared Emmerich. There was Dick Cavett.
So we're going to go ahead and listen to Tom Hewitt from the Rocky Horror Show. And I just need to say I'm playing this because I just want to make everybody mad that doesn't like anything that has to do with gender fluidity. Here we go. We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole. We had such a fun conversation. I'm waiting for my guests to stop talking so I can turn on their microphones. Okay, great. Turning on your microphones. Wonderful. Now we're going to talk to Sharon Bauer-Anderson for why she's really here. She's an executive director of an amazing organization that started actually just before the pandemic and is going super duper strong. It's ATX Theater, which is a support organization for theaters here in Austin. But don't take my word for it. Sharon, welcome to Offstage and On the Air.
Thank you so much, Lisa. ATX Theater is not a theater. Everyone says, where is it? It's like, well, Yeah. It's everywhere. Because we're not a theater.
It is everywhere.
We simply encourage Austinites to embrace theater going with their entire beings, number one. But number two, we do this as well. Behind the scenes, we unite theater makers with each other because there are 80 theater companies in Austin. Not everyone knows that. So we had to make sure that everyone knows that, first of all. And there are more than 2,500 theater makers walking around. You might be next to one right now.
I would think that number is low.
It may be low, Lisa. Yeah. That's how many are members of our organization.
Oh, I got it. Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's probably more than that now. But
by the way, you need to use the word super duper more.
Okay. And super trooper.
You could use that one too.
Okay. Well, that is great. Do y'all have, I want to talk about what you have done, some of your accomplishments, but also do you have anything? Well, let's talk about let's go in order. What have you done?
Oh my goodness. Well, we've united all the theater companies in Austin to collaborate instead of compete. Number one,
yes,
because
good.
There seems to be, you know, a theme of, I don't have enough of this or I don't have enough of that. We have scarcity going on in all of our arts organizations. So if we all work together, we can share more things. And we do things like encourage companies to swap program ads, for example, which doesn't really cost money, right? We can help each other in free ways.
And that's been very, very successful.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I love coming out of this is I think we were edging this way anyway, but this lack of competitive feeling, because as I've always told people, I'm not in competition with other theater companies. Your success as a theater company helps me with my theater company.
Yeah, I always say it, if one fails, we all fail.
Correct.
It's true. It's true. I mean, really, I think what we're in competition with, we theater people, are the screens to which everyone is glued 24/7. So I almost think it's kind of revolutionary of us to continue to do live theater.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear what you just said. I was looking at my Facebook.
It's revolutionary. It's revolutionary to go to theater too. So, that's a fun thing to do. I was going to say, you should do that, but I can't say that. It's a radio show.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Yeah, I can't do that. I will say, I believe it is the best date night. It is the best way to introduce new people to other new people because it gives you something real and immediate to talk about, and people connect when they go see live theater. So that's why we do what we do.
Yeah. So, you know, ATX Theater is doing such a great job and getting the word out. And, just, you know, that's been one of my boogaboos about, you know, people just don't know theaters, you know, the smaller theaters exist outside of Zach and some of the other larger theaters. So it's just getting the word out that theater actually exists. But talking about this thing about bringing people together, that's just always been fun. It happened, you know, out of necessity during the pandemic, and now it just keeps going. You have quarterly confabs.
We do. We have confabs where people who run theater companies or help them run come together and dish about what's hard right now or what's great right now or can, you know, different trends in our industry. It's really helped us, I think, to talk about best practices in our industry too, together as a group, so that we're sure that we can keep safer environments and the healthiest environments. And it also helps us to coordinate how we're reaching out to the world. So I try really hard as ATX Theater to make sure that the little guys, you know, the scruffy little productions that were written a few months ago, rehearsed in a garage and are up for one night, you know, they get as much weight in terms of the exposure on ATX Theater as the big Broadway touring shows do. So that's sort of our goal, to equalize that a little bit, because that's why we're a nonprofit. We're not here to make money. We're here to make sure that everybody knows about all the shows.
Well, theater is not really a money-making proposition in general, as we've
so
come
true.
To learn. Have you done any work with our new Acme at all?
You know, I have. I am also, in addition to working on ATX Theater all the time, I've become an arts commissioner recently.
Oh,
and I
did
that.
I know this?
I don't know.
I did not know this. Congratulations.
Oh, well.
Yes. I know. Well, let me rephrase that. Thank you for your service.
Yes, that's more. Yeah, I sort of like bamboo under my fingernails, maybe a little more than being on a commission, but it's really not. It's really not bad. And I will say, I believe that Acme has excellent intent. And of course, the the organization of all the things that ACME is in charge of, which includes not only the cultural centers and the festivals and the this and the, you know, and the funding. And there's so much that they have to oversee. They've only been here for a year. They started, I think it was last February, right? Mm-hmm. Or March. Mm-hmm. So Director Angela Means is amazing that she can hold all that in her head. And I think her intent is on target. Of course, this is a complicated issue, arts in sure. our city. And so there's going to be times when things fall down and we have to fix them. But the whole reason for the Arts Commission to exist and every commission in Austin to exist is to help bring sunlight into the process and make sure that the community is involved and included. So it felt like something important to do at this time when ACME was making all these
decisions. And what district are you representing?
I represent District 10, but we don't really, we sort of cross. I don't live in District 10. But
oh, okay.
Though I did grow up in District 10.
I thought you had to live in the district.
You don't have to.
Oh, no, I think I knew that.
City council that you do.
But I was born in that district.
Well, amazing. That counts.
I'm an Austinite.
That counts.
Through and through.
That counts. Well, great. So let's talk about, in the limited time we have left, mm-hmm. what's on the agenda? What are the plans for ATX Theater? Do you have any surprises you want to share with my audience?
Oh, I have surprises. I have a surprise in a few months. So I'll have to come back because I can't announce that excitement yet. But I will say that we just got our little rehearsal space up and running.
Oh, that's right. I wanted to talk about this.
Yeah, we got that going in November. And we were able to do that because Austin Creative Alliance is renting two floors of a church. And the space is quite affordable. We have a fantastic, amazing supporter who helped us subsidize that rent.
Yep.
So we're able to offer rehearsal space at night and weekends for all those 80 theater companies. Well,
it's
not
amazing.
All, because they can't all fit in there. But
it's open to all.
It is affordable. Our space
totally
is
totally needed. And I know I spoke to you when we were looking for rehearsal space for our show last December, right after y'all had opened up. And so I'm really excited about that whole situation over there on Guadalupe.
Yeah.
And there's parking.
There is parking.
Yeah.
It's
because you normally when people hear the word Guadalupe, they think, oh, there's no parking.
Where am I going?
It's a miracle little parking place. It's like a Brigadoon in the middle of Austin.
Just like a Brigadoon.
It is an arts Brigadoon commune.
And one of the things that y'all took on the mantle of last year, and I'm making the assumption that you're going to keep doing it, is the Critics, you've renamed it Critics Awards.
Yes,
is it Critics Awards?
Austin Theater Critics Awards.
Austin Theater Critics Awards. Are you doing that again this year?
We are going to do that again this year. It's just another way to support and celebrate excellence here in the Austin Theater community.
I was just so happy because I wasn't aware that you were doing that, and then it popped up on my radar last year. And I love, it was the Austin Theater Critics Circle before. Mm-hmm. And, when the awards come from people who have a supposed expertise, those awards mean a little bit more. So I love that's coming back a little bit. And it's always a fun night. Are you doing it at the same place?
I think we are doing it at the same place. Okay. I'm a little concerned we're going to outgrow that place pretty soon.
It was full last time.
Yeah, it was full. But it's a delightful evening. And it also gives people a way to get to know the theater critics, which mm-hmm. I think is really important in a community as small as ours, that there's more communication there. Right. So.
Now, where do people go to get information, and what kind of person are you looking for to come and visit to the website?
Everyone can come to our website. It is located at ATX Theater with an R-E-T-H-E-A.
You don't need to say that to my audience.
Dot O-R-G. We can get into a conversation about that. Anyway, .org. And the reason to go to that website is that all the shows in town are in one place. And so you can see what's happening this weekend. You can see what's happening in a few weeks. You can plan ahead. Also, we put direct ticketing links to every single box office on our website and in our weekly theater guide that we email out.
I was just about to say, and you can sign up to get that lovely in your mailbox. Hey, this is what's happening.
Yes.
Reminder.
Yes. Right.
And you can also, they can sign up on, be on the list and get emails.
That's right.
What I just said.
Right.
That's
joint. Did you say? I wasn't listening.
It's technically joining ATX Theater.
Thank you. Appreciate that. You care what I say.
There's that. That is a completely zero risk thing to do to join ATX Theater.
Zero risk.
There's zero risk. See how I said that?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. But I have to say, some of the things I'm excited to see soon in Austin I'm interested to see the last match. Have you had Elizabeth in here to talk about the last match?
Oh, no. Is this,
is this Filigree Theater?
Filigree? No, I haven't had her in yet.
I saw it today. I mean, how do you do a play about tennis?
It's about tennis. And did you see that Venus Williams is coming to play the ATX Open? We're getting Venus in Austin.
There you go.
It's tennis time right now.
Oh, my gosh. Is it over the run of the show? Maybe we could do a deal.
It's in March is normally when it is. February, March. Right.
We have to move on. We've completely run out of time. So people can get more information at atxtheater.org.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, Sharon Bauer Anderson, thank you so much for coming on. And please come on again anytime you want to. We focus typically on shows. And so a lot of times the support organizations or the other people around that aren't actually producing shows fall off of my radar. So if you ever have anything you want to talk about, please
come on and
talk about it.
I have more shows I want to talk about, but I know you're out of time.
Yeah, we're out of time. We're going to go through them. You can sit with us in our next section when we go through the shows that are happening. You can just go ding every time you like something.
Oh, good.
That was Sharon Bauer Anderson of ATX Theater or atxtheater.org. And you can get information at atxtheater.org. And this is from Applause. It's called Welcome to the Theater. Lauren Bacall. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the theater. The magic.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and on the Air with Lisa and Nicole and Sharon. And now joined by Andrea. Hi, Andrea.
Hi, Andrea.
You know what? Every time I have you on the show, I go through this in my mind. I have it one way and then I always choose the wrong way.
That's all right.
It's okay.
It's a name that has many ways to say it.
It's okay. We're going to do our quick local section, and then we're going to talk to you about why you are here.
Okay.
But I want to just announce some unfortunate news with a slightly silver lining. The Georgetown Palace Theater up in Round Rock got flooded during these last freezes.
Those pictures and video was like, whoa, yeah. With the water.
And they had to shut down. They weren't able to do their final two weekends or final weekend of Frozen. No pun intended, I'm sure. But I just saw on the Facebook today, where did I write this down, that the Georgetown School District Performing Arts Center has offered their theater for their upcoming show, and I didn't write it down.
I forgot the name of it too, but they were canceling that also.
What? Swing?
Yeah.
They were canceling it, but now they're doing
it. That's awesome. That's a lot.
They're doing it just for one weekend, February 13th through 15th. And how do we support Georgetown? By going to their shows and helping them through this crisis. You can get information on how you can help or find out information about Swing at, I believe it's georgetowntheater.org or .com.
Georgetown Palace Theater.
Georgetown Palace.
They're also having another production right now in their education building.
We're going to get to that.
Oh, sorry.
You let me host the show. How does that sound? But they are indeed. It's Mountaintop. We're going to talk about that. Okay. So you ready to do our thing?
I am. Do you want to start?
And then if you hear a little ding, that's Sharon going, I want to highlight this.
Yeah.
Okay, go.
We have Frontera Fest playing now through the 14th.
Yeah, it's the final week's going.
Dun, dun, dun.
The Vortex has The Wolf You Feed through February 7th.
Ding, ding. Right now we have The Sound of Music, Broadway in Austin, through the 8th of February.
The Hills are alive. Zach Theater's got Murder on the Orient Express playing ding, ding. Through March 1st.
Yeah, that train. Austin Playhouse has Described the Night playing now through the 22nd of February.
And this one makes me very sad because I can't go.
We
had them on the show
date.
Last week. Austin Opera has got Fiddler on the Roof. Opens tomorrow on the 5th and plays through the 8th.
Yes. Well, apparently we've got
Murder Zach Theater again.
So we're going to stop because Zach Theater again, Charlotte's Web is opening next week and it runs through the 17th of May.
Ding, 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 ding.
We just talked about Georgetown Palace. They got the Mountaintop directed by Jeremy Rashad.
Brown.
I almost said Walker and I don't know where that came from. Anyway, I'm very excited to see that. It's playing February 6th through March 8th.
Filigree Theater, The Last Match. We were just discussing that. February 6th through the 22nd at Sterling Stage.
No ding for that?
Oh, ding, ding.
Ding.
Oh, my God.
So,
yeah, that's right.
Mary Moody Northern at St. Ed's has got You're in Town. They're going to be our guests next week.
Ding, ding, ding,
playing February 12th through the 27th.
And then we have Austin Shakespeare. We have them coming on too, don't we?
Yes, we do. Next week.
With Macbeth playing the 13th of February through March 1st at the Roland Stage.
Okay, did we miss anything?
Ding, ding, ding. That one's going to be...
Did we miss anything? Quickly.
Yes, you did.
What?
Oh, well, that's in March. Never mind.
Say it.
I was just going to say Short Shakespeare is going to be at Trinity Street Playhouse, and that's from Walking Shadow Shakespeare,
yep.
But that's in March, March 4th.
And I should say, I don't know why it's not here.
Oh, you did miss something. You missed Wild Horses at Penfold.
Oh, you also missed Yellowface. It's at this other...
I was about to say Wild Horses at Penfold, February 27th through March 15th.
Mm-hmm. I did not see that on the ATX Theater site. I'm sure it's there. I just
Yellowface.
Mm-hmm. Yellowface is playing at Ground Floor Theater from February 12th to the 28th. They will be our guests in 2 weeks.
Bum, bum, bum.
Auditions. We have Zach Theater, Come From Away. Those auditions are on the 18th of this month. They're also auditioning for Sally and Tom on...
Lauren Susie Park's new one.
Yes, February 10th. Lake Travis Musical Theater is doing Into the Woods on March 7th. Summer Break Theater is auditioning for Midnight on February 14th, Valentine's Day. City Theater's got Men in Boats. What a fun little show that is. Those auditions are on February 9th and 10th. Ground Floor Theater is currently holding video auditions for Pueblo Revolt through the 13th of February. And Walking Shadow Shakespeare is auditioning for Coriolanus on February 20th. I'm going to do theater history as fast as I can so we have time for our guests. The thing has links to it, and I pushed to see the article, and it goes to the link. Hold on.
I don't know which thing... That you're looking at.
I'm looking at
Dropbox. That sent you to the wrong place.
I'm looking at Dropbox.
Oh.
No. Sorry, not Dropbox.
Wikipedia?
No, it doesn't matter. Adobe Acrobat.
Oh. That looks like a Wikipedia page.
Yeah, it was a Wikipedia.
You made PDFs. I get what you did.
Okay, birthdays. Jonathan Larson, Nick Rouleau, Jason VZ, Conrad Jack Shuck. I don't know that person.
It's a fun name to say.
I like that name. And Jerry Adler.
Huh.
Opening at this time, I had so many choices for songs for this one.
A lot of good openings, I take it then.
Well, a lot of good openings, a lot of good Jonathan Larson, a lot of good people that had music. Our Town, the original, opened in 1938.
Ooh.
Pump Boys and Dinettes, which is what I thought I was going to play from.
Has some good music.
Then I saw
it.
You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, the revival in 1999. Thought I was going to play something for that. But no, I chose... Golden Rainbow with Edie Gourmet and Steve Lawrence, who there is not a cast album for, but there one of the songs from that show was made popular by Sammy Davis Jr., and it's called I Gotta Be Me. We'll be right back.
I've gotta be me. I've gotta be me. What else?
I should say this is Billy Porter singing this, not Sammy Davis Jr. We are back to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole.
Hello.
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 I tried to fade that music, but I faded my microphone instead.
Well, maybe.
I know.
You meant to do that.
I did.
You meant to do that.
Well, let's reintroduce Andrea Ariel of Ariel... Andrea Ariel Dance Theater, who is here representing KMFA's Offbeat Concert Series, along with Andrea Ariel Dance Theater. And this is called a sound painting collaboration of live music compositions. This sounds fascinating. And welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
And you're also working with Austin Unconducted.
Yes.
Which I had not heard of before I read about this, which sounds also fascinating. Tell us about it.
Okay, well, Austin Unconducted is an 18-member string orchestra. They do a lot of classical music in their concerts. I've seen them, many of their concerts, and one thing that's very unique about them is that they don't have a conductor, right? So the way that they do the music is a lot of eye contact, breath, movement to cue themselves internally. And I do this thing called sound painting. And I thought, wow, they would be amazing to sound paint. Because that's a lot about what sound painting is. It's like this collective creative experience where you're connecting. And so that is a multidisciplinary live composing language that I've been doing for quite a long time. And so there's like maybe 1,500 signs that you could use. We wouldn't use that many in a performance or anything, but the syntax is like who, what, when, and sometimes how. And so I...
When I was a reporter for the newspaper, I used those too.
Yep, they're the essentials, right?
Yes.
And so from the signs, they improvise. And from that, those improvisations, I compose with it. So we develop the music from the improvisations and continue to sculpt and remix or deconstruct what you're hearing.
So I'm going to see different things every time I come see it.
That's correct. No shows are the same ever.
No rehearsal can is never the same either, is it?
That's true. Yes, that's very true. So we explore things and try things, and then sometimes we have this amazing piece, but you're not going to be able to do it again.
Yeah,
because that it happened in the moment.
That's the ephemeral nature of our business.
Yes,
exactly. Which I kind of love.
Yeah.
Well, that is cool. How many dancers are involved?
There are no dancers in the show.
Okay.
I'm working with 9 of the musicians from the orchestra. And there is a little bit of choreography in terms of how we're configuring them. There's 3 pieces, about 20 minutes each. And then they move at times with their instruments. It's very fun.
Is this all new for them?
I mean, absolutely.
Because you're kind of wearing 2 hats as choreographer and conductor of sound painting.
Yep.
So for them, if they're just used to being fluid in how they play, how is that adding choreography to the mix with them?
They've been completely receptive of that. It's been really fun. We're mapping out their movement and patterns. Very simple, but it's fun to add that element to it. And sound painting, it's the first time they've ever learned it. So for me, it's the first time I've been able to sound paint a string orchestra of that size. And for them, they're learning sound painting for the first time. We've had maybe 5 rehearsals so far. It's coming along really lovely. We've had some really magical moments. And
Can you describe one of those magical moments?
Well, we're something takes off. Like, you know, there's these different signs that something's... A musician proposes a particular thing, and then you bring in other musicians with it, and all of a sudden, something really amazing evolves. And then at that point, as a sound painter, I can also turn it over to them in a way, like it's like organic development, or develop this, or improvise with this, and then something just—it's hard to describe, but it just happens.
So I can picture this as in my mind as an audience, as an experience that I'm going to come in and watch this, and I can imagine what the musicians are going to be, where they are going to be physically in space, and what they're going to be doing, moving around notwithstanding. What are you running around doing things? Are you all over the place? Are you just a bundle of energy directing what's going to happen on stage?
Mostly, I'm standing in one place.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, mostly I'm standing in one place and because they have to be able to see the signs, right?
Right.
I can move around. Uh-huh. And I do, I have, when I've done sound painting with my company, with dancers, sometimes moving around. I might move around. I mean, it's all live in the moment. But mostly I stand in one place, trying not to stand in front of the audience so they can see the musicians. And we have 3 different pieces. And one of the things in sound painting is you can have a palette, which is a short piece of music that's composed that can influence the sound painting that we're doing. So we're using a couple palettes in this, and then a lot of it's very open.
It's almost like improv, pulling out the subject, but everything else is organic in the moment.
Yeah,
it's just the seed to start.
Right, and the last piece, we're actually asking prompts from the audience. So before the show, I'm gonna have these 4 questions out in the lobby where they are gonna respond with 1 word responses, and then we're going to pick a card from each of the 4 questions, and those are going to be the prompts that to inspire the last piece that we're doing. So there's also a possibility of audience involvement. I can turn around and sound paint the audience, and they will suddenly be in the piece.
That sounds like a lot of fun. We're running out of time. KMFA, this is part of their Offbeat concert series. How often do they do the series? Twice a year.
I'm not sure. Twice a year, maybe. Okay. A year.
And have you done it before?
No, this is the first time, and I'm super excited about it. They are going to have an artist talk at 6 o'clock. The show will be at 7, and there'll be a reception following the show. And there's complimentary beverages all evening, and there'll be light bites at the end.
Great.
So you'll have a chance to talk to the artists. And
wonderful. And this all happens at the Draylen Mason Music Studio in the KMFA Studios, right?
Yep.
What are the dates that are there happening?
February 6th and 7th.
That's this Friday and Saturday.
That's right.
Wonderful. Up. And where can folks go to get more information?
KMFA.org/offbeat.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Andrea, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
And
so
I guarantee you, every time you come on the show, I will pronounce your name a different way.
Okay.
I can't.
If that's a promise, that's fine.
But thank you. So I always love having you on the show.
Thank you so
thank
much.
You for coming on.
Thank you.
That was Andrea Ariel of Andrea Ariel Dance Theater. She is part of she and they are part of KMFA's Offbeat Concert Series, a sound painting collaboration with live music composers done by Austin Unconducted. You can get more information at kmfa.org. And we just have time to say goodbye. Stand by for Tracy Schultz.
He's going to tell you what's new.
He is going to tell you what's new.
On what's new.
And we're going to run. We just have a minute of music. I'm saying that out loud so Tracy knows. In honor of painting from the notebook, this is I Paint. We'll see you next week when we look at what's happening off stage and on the air. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Did you paint this?
Yes. I like to pretend that the world isn't what it is, because what it is mean and cruel and bigger than anything I could ever imagine. So, yes, I make up these worlds in my head, put them down on paper with these hands of mine. I find that time slows down.